Well, we're going to take a little time in God's Word as we prepare for our celebration of baptism today. You can turn in your Bibles if you have them with you, or there's some under the seat backs in front of you that you'd be welcome to use. We'll be starting in John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. There's an index in the front of the pew Bibles. You're welcome to use that. John is the fourth book in the New Testament, so that'll give you another hint on how to get there. We talked a few weeks ago about having the fingerprint of God on our lives in a number of different ways, and really it's Jesus' fingerprint in our lives. And when we put our faith in Christ, it's a wonderful thing because His fingerprint becomes our fingerprint. His life becomes our life, and that's an amazing thing. And it's not just about who we are. It becomes about who we're following. It becomes about who we're following. And as we're thinking about this coming year, we're here in 2017. Can you believe that? You remember when we thought about 2020 as being like, oh, that's like way out there. We're not even thinking about that. That's like 3 years away, people. Isn't that something? We're talking about setting our course for this year, though. And you have some ability to influence what's going to become of your 2017. That's good news, isn't it? So deciding who we are in Christ is one thing we talked about. But who are we following in this year? That's what we're talking about today. It has everything to do with baptism. Let's stand. We're going to read our verses for the day that we're going to be focusing on. We always, as the children did, we stand when we read God's Word, just in a way of honoring God's Word. And if you're able, that's great. If you're not, that's fine too. We understand. So let's read together. Jesus declared, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Then Jesus called the crowd to Him, along with His disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Lord, we pray that you'd help us to not just listen to your word, even more than just understand it, Lord God, but help us to find a way of putting it into our lives. Lord, speak into what's going on in my yesterday and my today, my last week and last month, and even my next week and next month. Throughout this year, Lord God, we want to be able to say, "I'm following you, Jesus. I may not know where I'm going this coming year, but you do. And so I'm following you." Would you just help us, Lord, to take something from this word and let it transform our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So when we call ourselves Christians, you may remember what the word Christian means, what it literally means. Little Christ. It was a name that they called the new believers. They said, "Oh, those are Christians. Those are the little Christs. Those are those people that follow that Jesus. They're the little Christs." And we call ourselves little Christs or believers. Believers in Jesus. Believers in the one who came and died and rose again and is at the Father's right hand. We call ourselves believers in Him. Scripture says we call ourselves disciples. What's a disciple? It's somebody that follows the master, the teacher, and learns from him. We call ourselves people who want to learn from Jesus and follow him. That's the last word. We're followers. We follow Christ. That's what it means when we call ourselves Christians. But it's important to know who it is we're following, isn't it? Who is this Jesus? What does following him really mean? You got to know who he is, right? Or he could lead you down. You don't know who you're following. Have you ever thought you were following somebody in a car, and you're like, oh, you know, I got behind them, and you're driving, it's night maybe, and you think you're following the car. All of a sudden, this car is not going where you thought you were going. You got yourself behind the wrong car. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, great, now I don't even know where I'm at. Yeah, you can follow the wrong person and end up in a completely different place than you expected. We want to be followers of Jesus and know who he is. We don't want to be just following anybody. We don't want to be even fakers and say, yeah, I'm following him, but we're really not following close. We want to truly be followers of him. So what was he like? What does it mean to be followers of Jesus, and who is it that we're following? This first verse that we read, Jesus declared, I have come down from heaven not to do what? Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I'm here to do God's will. That's what I'm here for. It's one of the first steps of pleasing God is baptism. Jesus says, the Bible says, believe and be baptized. It's our public declaration that says, I'm a follower of Christ now. That's what baptism is. It doesn't wash us clean. It doesn't take away our sins. That all happened when we put our faith in Jesus. Done deal then. This is just our public profession that says, I am identifying myself with Jesus. I'm his follower. I'm a believer. Jesus did this. Jesus was baptized. It's one of the things that he began his ministry. Scripture says that when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, he went in, everybody was being baptized by John, but John says, oh, Jesus, you should be baptizing me. Who am I? Who am I to baptize you? And Jesus, remember what he said? He said, let it be so now. For it is proper for us to do this to fulfill righteousness. It's the right thing to do. I have to do the right thing. If I will be asking people that follow me to do the right thing, I have to start. And he started with identifying himself as God's son. And you remember what happened afterwards? He baptized him. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and the Father God looked down on his son and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He got a kudos from his father. Don't we all need that? Don't we all need our dads to say good job sometimes? We all do, and Jesus got that. And whether it was in baptism where he did it because it was the right thing to do, it's what we do when we say I'm a follower of Christ. He also did it in crucifixion on the other end of his life. You remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? This was the night that he was arrested. And he went into the garden with his followers, with his disciples, and he went off on a distance and said, God, you can do all things. There's nothing that's impossible for you. If you could take the cup of this cross from me, if you could take this burden of me having to be physically tortured and spiritually take the sins of the whole world, the guilt of the sins of the whole world on myself, if there's any way that you could take this away from me, please, please do it. This was the human side of Jesus saying, if there's any other way. But then he said, but Father, not my will, yours be done. The Son always deferred to the Father. Why? Because he said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. That's who we're following. That's who we're following. And he calls us, just as Jesus always honored and obeyed God, he also calls us to follow him and be like him. And that's the second verse that we read. It says, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? the context here, Jesus told them this after he had told them, okay, guys, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be crucified and killed. And he just laid it right out for them. And they're like, wow. And that was the time when Peter said, Jesus, come here. No way. You can't do that. You can't let them crucify you. Remember what Jesus said? Get behind me, Satan. No, I must do this, Peter. I must do this. And that was when he said, you know what? If you want to be my disciple, you have to take up your own cross and follow me. It's a surrender. It's a willingness to say, that's what Thomas, the old doubting Thomas, so we all put that, poor Thomas gets that name, doubting Thomas. Guess was the one who said, you know what? If you're going to Jerusalem to die, let's go with them. That was Thomas. Says, if you're going to die, we're going to go with you. So Thomas didn't have it all wrong, did he? Taking up the cross was an example of the heart. It's a picture of the heart that says, I surrender, Lord, that like that song we sang, I surrender all. My life is yours. I'll go wherever you go. See, Christ, in pure love for his creation, you and me, we've all fallen short. I've talked to all of these people that are getting baptized, and we all understood together that everyone has sinned. I have, you have, we all have. There's not a person on this earth that hasn't sinned except for Jesus. He was the one who came and in love took the death that we earned, the results of our sin upon himself. That was his perfect and pure love. And he's saying, so in the same way that I came to take up my cross, which was my gift of love for a lost world, I want you to take up your cross as a gift of love for a lost and broken and hurting world. Follow me, he's saying. If you want to follow me, this is what it looks like. See, Jesus didn't soft pedal it. I know a lot of people think Jesus was the kind and gentle Jesus who was real meek and mild. Jesus was a strong man. The human side of him was courageous and was willing to do whatever it took to save this lost and broken humanity that he had created. What love. And he calls us to that same self-sacrificial love for people. And Jesus, see, who did the saving? Jesus, right? And he says, now go and love and tell. See, I can't convert anybody. On my best day with my best sermon, I can't convert you. I can't do that. That's Jesus did the work of saving. The Holy Spirit does the work of drawing you. All I can do is to go, love you, and tell you what Jesus has done. That's all any of us are called to do, to go and love and tell. Takes a lot of the pressure off, doesn't it? We're supposed to go make disciples. It's Jesus that does the work. All we're supposed to do is go along, love people, tell people about what Jesus has done. But that requires us denying ourselves, doesn't it? So he wanted us to follow and become like him. He also wanted, some of the things that he did was he loved and lifted up people right where they are. Right, he met them right where they are. We see that in the woman at the well. She led a rough, difficult life, made a lot of bad choices, and here she was living with somebody that wasn't her husband, and she was an angry, frustrated person. And Jesus met her right where she was, spoke deeply into her life, and just began to try to lift her up and say, you know what? There is a Savior, and guess what? I'm him. And I'm looking for people that want to worship my Father. I'm looking for them. And that lit her world up, you know? That lit her world up. sometimes things can feel bigger than we can do. I can't talk to people about God. I can't witness to people. It's not my personality or whatever it might be. You know what? We complicate things. I got my sister Linda's permission to read this. It blessed me. So this was a text that I got this week. I got to find her here. Where'd your message go, Linda? There it is. It's under Linda Steinberg, too. So I get this message this week that says, "Hi, Pastor. I went to the store this morning and the clerk and I were talking. He seems nice, like a very nice young man. He asked if I knew where he could do community service. I hope you don't mind. Thinking back, I should have checked with you first. Sorry, he's trying for management and has to complete community service for court before they'll consider him. He should be calling you." She gave his name and said, "I'm sorry again. I should have consulted you first. I just wanted to help him. Thank you." So I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That's wonderful. And so I responded back with my smart alecky remark. I said, "Okay, so let me get this straight. You were out in the community. You started talking to someone you met. You listened to what was going on in their life. You cared about him. And then you tried to help him. What were you thinking, Linda? It's like you were trying to follow Jesus, and it wasn't even Sunday." I got a little winky in there. And then just to make sure I didn't throw her off, I said, "Ha, ha, ha, if you don't mind, may I talk about this on Sunday? This is exactly what God is calling all of us to do. I look forward to hearing from him." So I thought that was great. And then she says, "Ha, ha, so the good Lord has been doing this for me all week. You should have been in Victoria's Secret when another customer and I started testifying at the counter. There must have been 7 other people there. I thought it was going to break out in a revival. The love was an amazing gift from God. It was like the Holy Spirit was having a party. What an amazing blessing. I really can't explain the love." I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I'm like, ha ha, revival in Victoria's Secret. Now that would be a God thing. But no, I don't need to be in Victoria's Secret. And so it was... She was just excited about that. That is awesome. Pretty simple stuff, right? She didn't have to plan that. She didn't have this big thing laid out. She just was willing to listen to someone that had a need and try to help. There you go. That was your lesson on how to be a witness in your world, how to share Christ's love with people. Jesus did that. He did that with the woman at the well. He did that with the woman who was caught in adultery. Remember that story? All the religious leaders brought this woman, threw her down at his feet, and said she was caught in adultery. Law says we should stone her. What do you say? And Jesus, of course, the story is, he sat down, just started writing in the sand, in the dirt. They're all just like, what's he going to say? Whoever of you has never sinned, you can go ahead and cast the first stone. There's some more writing on this sand. And of course, one by one, they all walked away. And then he lifted her up and said, "You know what? Go and sin no more. Be blessed. Be blessed." Hello. Oh, those phones. So Jesus loved to try to lift people up and love them right where they were, right? That's what he calls us to do. He cared for those that were disconnected from God. He cared about those. It says in Matthew, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news. But he says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. He wanted to send out laborers. God, he has compassion on this world that he's in. And he wants to send us out into the world. I was chatting with Karen about some other things, but she was had some things that I thought would be so powerful to share about just going out right where you are and ministering to people. And we try to make it more complicated than it is. Karen, can you tell us a little bit about some of the work that you've been doing, Grief Share, for how, as long as I've known you, right?
Almost 9 years. Yeah, this year will be 9 years.
She was doing it for 3 years before I got here. And
I started Grief Share almost 9 years ago, and it's a Christ-centered support group for people that are surviving the loss of someone they love. So the people that come to this group are, I believe, in the most fragile state that they can be in. And I wanted to go and make people feel better, but what I found is that Christ needs to do that, and I have to let go and trust God. I felt so not qualified to be there that I kind of panicked at first, like, what am I going to do? Because I don't want to give anybody a wrong word. I don't want to do the wrong thing because these people are so fragile. But somebody once told me, sometimes God just calls you to show up. Mm-hmm. And so when I look back 9 years, God has strengthened my faith so deeply by sitting and listening to people for 9 years share about the loss of their child, of their husband, of their wife, of their parents. And the thing that has touched me most over the years is I feel like a lot of times I go home, I cry a lot with my husband, and I realize how valuable life is and how good God is, because I have seen him walk with these people over and over again. When they first walk through the door and they can't even breathe, and a year later, they're helping the person next to them. That's wow. Beautiful. Yeah. And that is God, and nobody else could do that. And so I think every night, like, I go over it. I'm a person that processes constantly. Did I say the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Well, a lot of times in Grief Share, there comes a point where people who have lost somebody need to share the last moment, and those are the hardest for me. And I remember one time sobbing with a man who was sharing how he had to say goodbye to his wife. And I felt so guilty because I'm supposed to be there to help, but I was crying harder than he was. And so later he said, I just wanted you to know that when you were crying, it touched my heart so deeply because my story mattered to somebody. And that's what meant the most to me. So just showing up, and you said follow me. Sometimes to me that's intimidating. Like, I don't know what that means. Would I just go? But I think when you just go, he teaches you so much, and he strengthens your faith, and he gives you direction, and he will be there. And I've had a lot of brokenness in my past, and Grief Share has healed that brokenness. So not only do I get to sit and listen and walk with somebody in their darkest moments, they heal me, and Jesus heals me in the same moment. So it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate that. That's, you step out sometimes, right? You had never done this before, and you said, okay, God, I'll try. And not necessarily have the answers.
Not have the answers.
Sometimes.
Just walk with them, that they matter, that their pain matters.
Yeah. We don't have to have it figured out. Sometimes we just have to say, I am willing to have compassion on the world around me, like Jesus had. He said he had compassion for the hurting around him. That's who we follow, the one who says, I have compassion on the hurting of this world. Jesus says, he met them in their trouble, and he just points them to God, right? Go, love them, and tell them. The last one here, who is this Jesus we follow? Jesus said to them, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. The Father sent Jesus to us Now Jesus sends us to the people that surround us in our everyday lives. Is it hard? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to carry our cross. Sometimes it costs us. And we just have to walk by faith. Pastors have to do that. Accountants have to do that. Line workers have to do that. It's a faith walk. But God meets us every step of the way, as he did for Karen, and he did for Linda, as she just kind of showed up and was ready to talk about her Jesus. Let God give us the words, right? Well, I think that we're going to go into our baptism time. So those that are being baptized, why don't you go ahead and get yourselves changed, and we'll meet you up here. Mm-hmm.